It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, the episode hasn't started yet. I'm just telling all of our listeners, if you've got any insight on how on Windows 10 I can save crap to my desktop that's not also saved to a OneDrive account, I would love any information, because they're all like, your OneDrive's almost full. And I'm like, I haven't put anything in my OneDrive ever, but apparently everything I have on my desktop is in my OneDrive. And that is annoying. So
you know, a second ago when you asked me if I was ready?
Yeah.
And I said yes, kind of out of habit.
But you were not ready.
I was not ready.
All right. Do you need to take a moment?
No, I can't. There's nothing I can do about it now.
All right.
We'll find out later why. And how I wasn't.
Are you pooping or something?
You're going to ask a question, or no, you're going to expect me to share a piece of information that I won't remember what the piece of information is.
It'll
happen.
All right. Well, you have some time to think of it or to forget what you thought.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell a story.
That's not going to help me.
It's going to be weird because it's a story about work, and I don't tell a lot of stories about work.
You tell a lot of stories about work.
No, I avoid telling stories about
but
work.
But you end up doing it anyway.
Yeah, okay. Objectively, I tell a lot of stories about work. But on a scale of things that happen at work and the percentage I talk about, I don't tell very many stories about work.
I see. So you could tell a ton more stories.
And traditionally would.
So actually, but you don't tell very
exactly,
many relative
exactly,
to how many
exactly.
you would tell.
In the Tonyverse.
I get it.
It's not a lot. But then this one is also funny because I'm telling it because I think it's funny. But I'm also telling it because I want to tell it to my boss. And she's very busy tomorrow. I know this because I can see her calendar. And so I'm not going to have a chance. And I'm worried that after that point, I will forget to tell her. But she listens to the podcast.
Yeah, she does. Or so
and in fact, frequently when I first show up at work, she doesn't write on the blog because she hates us and wants us to fail. But frequently when I show up to work on Friday, she has to tell me all her commentary about what she heard on the podcast. So mostly I'm telling this story to my boss. I just happen to be doing it through podcast. But there's going to be a lot of detail that's not necessary because my boss would already know, but I'll let you and other listeners in.
That's very polite of you.
So, my boss, like I said, I have access to her calendar. I schedule a lot of her meetings. And she sometimes puts in after-hours meetings that aren't related necessarily to work, like she's going to go someplace or whatever. So she remembers.
Right.
These always have strange metaphoric names. And I recently discovered she basically does that for me. Because they're all like codes
to
and
entertain
things like
you
that.
Or?
Basically, yes.
Oh,
yes,
I
yes,
see.
To amuse me.
Well, how nice.
Yes, except she's really bad at it. In that she comes up with really obscure things that like only made sense in her head. Like, so many of them I don't get. And then she tells me later, and I'm like, yeah, how the hell would I have gotten there? Like, constantly. But so she's not, well, she was around a little bit this morning. She was supposed to have the day off, and then I go there, and she's there. But eventually, she did take the rest of the day off. But I'm looking, and I was scheduling something a few weeks ahead, and she's got one of those after-hour things, and it says potato conference. I don't know what this means. But I do know one thing. Almost always, these little after-hours meetings that she bothers to put on there that have weird names are she's going out with usually somebody from work for drinks. Which is not a regular thing for her, but, like, if somebody who works remotely is in town, or, like, there's a few people that every month or two, they're like, we should go get a beer, and so she does, and stuff like that. So often, I know that's probably what's going on, and I'm like, so it's often some sort of trick on the name of the person, or more commonly, the name of the place they're going. So I'm trying to think this through, but I'm like, this doesn't work. And the thing is, like I said, she makes up weird ones. So if you saw this, said Potato Conference, mm-hmm. and you knew it was probably a meet somebody for drinks after work,
yeah,
where would you go in your head?
Well, I think that someone from the Idaho office was visiting.
Oh, see,
something.
I forget. You're you. A lot of us.
Or something like that.
See, I was thinking vodka is the obvious one, because potatoes, traditional.
Yes, that's a good one. You're
but
right.
I know that's not what it is. Also, okay. She doesn't drink vodka, but also too easy, like too obvious.
Too obvious. Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck. And I'm like trying to come up with like alternate names, because sometimes it's a weird pun. So I'm like, is there a word for potato that is part of the name of a bar in town or something? I can't come up with it. And I'm not. And then as I'm walking to lunch with the producer and I'm talking to her about it, I'm like, I can't figure it out. She's like, is it something, all I can think is something Irish related. And this is the thing, because my boss is Irish and my boss has been married now, but when she was born, her name was Sarah Murphy.
Ooh, Murphy. Okay.
Yes. Now,
that's
for those of
Irish
you familiar
name.
With this stuff, Sarah means princess.
That's right.
And Murphy means potato.
Well, that I didn't know.
Yes. So apparently growing up, she was frequently called Princess Potato. And she has told me this a few times, so I knew this. And so I'm like, potato. I'm like, are there any other Murphys? And I'm like, there is somebody we work with named Julie Murphy. And so I'm like, maybe it's a joke that she's meeting for drinks with Julie Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but that's just weird. So anyway, when we go to lunch, I don't think about it. And then this afternoon, somebody comes by and is peering in my boss's office window.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, they're like, is she gone for the week? I was like, no, she's just gone today. And this is a person I recognize on site, but like, I don't know who they are, but I've seen them once or twice before. So she's like, oh, will she be back? And I said, yeah, she'll be back tomorrow. She was just gone today, and we're talking a little bit. And she's like, sorry. And she puts out her hand. She's like, I'm Julie Murphy.
Well, that's true.
Because we've never met in person. Like, I've talked to her on email, and I scheduled meetings. There's a lot of people like that at the company. Like, I schedule meetings and stuff and email them, but I have no idea who they are in person.
Sure.
And what's really funny is the number of times where people have that with me. And they're like, oh, you're that guy. But anyway, that's a digression. So she tells me, I'm like, oh, hi. She's like, yeah, I'm just in for the week. And I was like, just a second. Are you going to be here on such and such a date? And she's like, yeah, I am. I'm like, are you going out with a fistful after work for drinks on that day? And she's like, yes, I am. And I'm like, that is what it was. And I tell her, and she thinks I don't know the Princess Potatoes. So she's like, do you know her mate? I'm like, no, I know. That's why I thought this. But it just cracked me up. And also, I was terribly proud.
Murphy means potato?
According to Sarah, name Murphy, it does.
I never knew
she
that.
She could just be being racist, but.
I never knew that.
That's what she said. Yeah, so it's
I don't
princess,
know if I've ever looked it up.
Princess Potato.
When you're a genealogist, you tend to look up name meanings because sometimes they'll give you some clues about where a family came from. So I actually know, though sometimes need to be reminded what certain names mean. I don't think I've ever looked up Murphy.
Yeah. For a long time, we thought that Parsons was literally son of Parr. But no, Parson would be son of Parr. Parsons actually means essentially the servant of the parson.
Oh.
So apparently I come from a long line of housekeepers to clergymen. To like low-level clergymen. And I feel like that makes sense. That works. What I know
that,
of my family.
That tracks, huh?
That seems on brand. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat, the only podcast in the world sponsored by the Mazda 4.
What's that?
It doesn't exist.
Oh.
I realized today when I was behind a Mazda 5, I'm like, there's a Mazda 3, which is a 2-door, a Mazda 6, which is a 4-door. And actually, there are 4-door versions of the Mazda 3, but the Mazda 6 is bigger. And then there's the Mazda 5, which is a hatchback. And I'm like, so there's no 4.
There. How did you know? How did you find all that out?
I used to own a Mazda, and I know Mazdas.
Oh.
I know my business.
Okay.
That being said, I won't be entirely shocked if somebody then tells me, actually, there is... actually, There is a Mazda 4. But I don't believe there is. So prove me wrong, people. Get in the comments. I'm Tony.
This is the moment right here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm William, and I think this is episode, although I wish I'd asked before we started, 438, I want to say.
I want to say you're wrong, but that sounds right.
I think probably. It was 438. People will already know.
I mean, yeah, right. It'll be listed, so
yeah.
We won't talk about it anymore, so if we were wrong, you won't have to freak out. It's the episode you saw when you came in.
Yeah.
But we think it's that one. And it's just his own episode. You're going to be out of my house in an hour. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
There's not even any mystery episodes. Not that we record those. Those are from a whole different dimension. It's not like we have to do those after a regular episode to clear them up or anything, which would make it double length. I don't even know why I'm talking about it,
because
that's not
either.
True. But this one's just a single episode, and that's awesome. So,
yes.
For those of you just joining us, here's how this works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. People, mostly Azure Talon, but other people sometimes. Come on, help us out, people. Cool people like yourselves. Yes, you. No, not that guy. Yeah, you. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. With little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. Servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is a surprisingly large amount of it. Yeah, I don't know what Addy's seeing out there, but he's getting interested.
Yeah, very interested.
Probably a squirrel or something. The windows have been open for a few days. So they're getting lots of sniffs in and things like that, because it hasn't been that bad this week. Let me ask you, you're a nerd both for this part of the country and for the natural world. Cicadas.
Yes.
They talk about, the 12-year cicada, the 17-year, and the, yeah. Are there just one-year cicadas? Because there's cicadas every year.
It staggers, I think.
It really is that. Oh, my God. Trish said that, and she thought she was joking.
No.
So it's they're every like 7 years, but not the same 7 years.
That's right. Like, at least that's how I understand it.
That is both more and less interesting at the same time.
When I was growing up on the farm, in fact, I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast a couple of years ago, when I was visiting home around this time, the cicadas were just deafeningly loud.
Absolutely, they're insane.
But that's not true every year. So obviously, the year before it was a different set. And so 7 years from then, or whatever their cycle is, because I think different breeds do have different cycles, then we'll have that deafening sound again when I go visit, but it won't be for several years. And it's a different set of cicadas the next year, I believe.
But all on a seven-year cycle, just different?
I don't know. I mean, I think, like I said, I think different
species
have
cycles. Because then it would just mean that one particular one is a very loud batch.
Well, or there's a greater number of them. Like, this cycle has a huge number of them, and the other cycles are smaller. I don't know.
I guess if prevailing weather and whatever environment of that year kills, like, prevents more.
But that's my understanding.
Reproduction.
I didn't do any research on it or anything. Someone could say, oh, no, the cicadas you guys hear in Iowa every summer is a once-a-year thing. Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know you didn't do any research. You couldn't even bother to figure out what episode number it is.
But as I was growing up, the conventional wisdom was that any particular cicada species has a multi-year cycle. And so when you hear cicadas every year, it's because they're staggered out.
Okay. Because that was the thing. Yeah, I heard that there's seven, and I think there's 12s and different ones, there's never not cicadas.
That's right. There's never not cicadas.
And I've lived here long enough now that I don't notice it unless I'm thinking about
yeah.
it. But
yeah.
It's insane.
I love it. It's a sound I just love in the summer. But when that one summer, it was so loud, and it wasn't this going up and down and tonally like you mm-hmm. hear outside right now, because there were so many, it was just one monotone sound. And if you were outside too long, it just really got to you. And it was, and they were all over the place. Like a lot of times you don't see them much.
And I prefer it that way.
You just hear them. And because they're quite ugly. I mean, they're quite
They're like big honking, they look locusts, basically.
You don't want one on you.
No. And sometimes you see one by itself and it's just sitting there and it's not doing anything. It's not moving. And it's entirely because it's just the casing.
Yeah, it's molted.
But it molted in such a way that it's still whole.
I know, it looks real.
Freaky as hell.
Yeah, but this summer they were like on the ground or one might land on you. It was not fun to be outside when that was
not
going
a
on.
Fan. So, how is your? I guess it's been 2 weeks, hasn't it? How's your 2 weeks been?
Oh, has it?
Yeah, because I was in Virginia.
Oh yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, my wife's still playing Conan Exiles, mm-hmm. and she's liking it quite a bit.
I'm getting more jazzed. I've been reading more stuff about it. I've been seeing some screenshots, and I'm like, probably what I'm going to play after Assassin's Creed Origins. But that's going to be about a while.
I think the grind of it is pretty noticeable. But again, she doesn't really mind that so much. And I guess I don't even mind as a person who's watching it, because it's just fun to watch her build things and sort of progress.
It may mean that I get tired of it faster than she does.
Yeah,
but
possible. Well,
it's hard to say. I mean, when I was younger, I grind a lot.
I don't think there was a lot of complaints about it, because nearly everybody who plays it is using cheats and things. So,
well, it sounds like there's interesting exploration in general.
Well,
like
I think
you can go. It's not just a faceless landscape.
No. It's quite large, and there's interesting things going
ruins
on.
Ruins and
I don't know. I think it's pretty interesting.
I'm curious. So, in looking this up, it turns out it's Funcom, who's a. I've been always fascinated with this particular game company. They've made a lot of MMOs, some of which have failed, some of which almost failed and then became really successful. One of the longest running MMOs, Anarchy Online, that I can't believe is still running, is theirs. But this, apparently, I was wrong in saying that it was unsuccessful. It's been fairly successful.
I mean, I think its launch wasn't very strong, but it's doing okay now.
And they've released a lot of expanded material.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is the free version just like the basic?
See, that's a good question, because as I told you, we purchased a reduced price version.
Oh, that's right. So you didn't actually... Okay. Then I'll have to see.
And I think that what we got was different than what you got for free. Okay. And so I wouldn't even know what the difference is.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's not a new game now, so
that's
it's
true.
Probably not super expensive for me to do. But and you're playing it on console, right? You're not playing on PC.
We are. Right? And on the console version, the certain options aren't available. Like if you were online on specific servers, like the thing you and I talked about online this week, the nudity aspect, there's no selection for full nudity. In at least not in the version of the
in the console version. Interesting. All right.
So, but if you were to get online, I think even with your console and you got on the right server, you could open up some of those other options. But we don't get online, so.
Well, and apparently, there's a single player version, which is what you're doing.
That's what we're doing. Right.
And then there's an option, like you said, to sort of like co-op with other people, if you want, like you could connect to somebody, apparently,
like one other person.
Yes.
Yeah. Or a whole bunch of other people.
And there's a persistent multiplayer version you can do.
That's right.
Because I was just today I was telling a gamer friend, I was like, I think we're gonna play this. He's like, you playing an MMO? I'm like, no, it's not. He's like, oh, I thought it was. I'm like, well, it can be, but it's not. Like, that's why I wasn't interested either.
I think my wife, once she reaches a certain level and she's built some stuff and whatever, I think she might be interested in trying the co-op, which, as I understand it, you when you select that you want a co-op, you go out and there's like a list of people who are looking for co-op partners.
Oh, okay.
And then you can just pick whoever you want, and that she might be interested in doing that too.
Well, I'm betting you can also do if you have friends, so maybe
no,
if
no,
she's
right.
still playing.
That's right.
We can do that.
You can do it with friends, but also if you just wanted to meet somebody who was playing the game and see what they're doing, and then we'll see what you're doing. And I think she might be interested in that. I don't think she's ever going to be interested in the MMO stuff, though, because being a survival game, it's going to be mostly you show up and then a whole bunch of people try to kill you. And she
or at least try and troll you. And
She hates that. Because she did some online stuff with Red Dead Redemption, and it was a nightmare. She liked it because in Red Dead Redemption, you can create your own character, and it could be female, you know, all this other stuff. And she liked all that aspect of it. And there were, you could go to certain areas of the map and do missions with other people who were working with you, and that was fun. But just as soon as she'd get out of an area like that or get away from her camp, someone would try to shoot her, and it's like, that's not fun.
That was why, like, the only online multiplayer I played, other than that weird racing game that I played for a little while, was Mass Effect 3. Because the entire thing was automated. You didn't need to talk to anybody, and it was entirely cooperative. Like,
That's nice.
Your group has to go fight these guys. Yeah, yeah. And so that was fun. You know what I've been playing, actually? We talked about auto chess a while back. And the auto battler genre that's existing.
I kind of recall that,
I finally tried it.
Okay.
Specifically, this first came out because somebody did a mod on Dota, which I believe stands for Dawn of the Ancients, which started life as a mod of Warcraft 3, I think, and was so popular that Valve, the company that makes it, finally just made it as a game. And then somebody modded it to this thing they called Auto Chess, which is, as opposed to the other ones, which are like real-time strategy and battle and stuff like that. This one is you build a group of fighters, and then they get sent out against other people, and you don't control them at all while they're doing it. You just build it. And it was so popular, again, Valve made their own version of it, and it's called Dota Underlords. And is popular enough that League of Legends, the people who make League of Legends, are making their own version, but it hasn't come out yet. So since that hasn't come out yet, and I've never played Dota, so I don't have any of that stuff, I was like, I could do this. But the really cool thing about it is it's on mobile.
Oh.
So I can just play it on my tablet.
Sure.
So I do that, and I did that a whole bunch in Virginia. And it's surprisingly addictive. Because there is strategy involved, but at the same time, it's not horribly imbalanced against other. You can't really get good at it. Because what happens is it randomly assigns 8 people to a tournament, and you get a random selection of heroes and 1 gold coin, and all the heroes cost a gold coin. You pick one and you put it out on the field, and then it fights some other dudes. And then after that, you get some more gold, and you get a random selection of heroes that some may cost more now. And you pick the, and eventually you get to a point, like the first few rounds, you're just sort of building up people, and you're fighting against computer things. But like round 4, whatever, you're fighting against the other players. And if you win, like the total number of people or units you have left on the board damage the player directly. And you just keep doing this sort of round robin style with everybody until everybody dies. And nothing happens from it. Like, what happens when I play, I get experience and I go up in level. And if I rank higher, I get more experience. But all the experience does is it changes what kind, like my rank name. And it gives me little cosmetic things. Like, now I have a new place when I'm playing. We're fighting on a different battlefield than when I started. And I have, like, a banner that's a certain color stuff. But, like, you don't get anything that carries over to other fights. And there's all these different units, but there's also, during these in-between rounds where you're playing against just computer-generated things, you get rewards for them.
Okay.
And they can either be like a weapon or something that you can equip on somebody.
Okay.
Or there are things that, like, for this class of people, now this cool thing happens. Because everybody's broken down, they all have 2 or 3 different classes they're part of.
Sure, sure.
And that means certain things. And it also means if you group them together, like there's a class called warriors. And if you have 3 distinct types of warriors on the battlefield, they get like a certain amount of extra armor or something like that.
Okay.
Or, and it gets weirder ones, like if you have a certain number of druids out there, like the lowest ranked druid gets ranked higher. Hmm. And you buy all these dudes, and if you get three of the same dude, they turn from a 1-star version into a 2-star version. And then if you get 3 2-star versions, they turn, and they're much more powerful and things like that. But again, you have a limited time. And so it's really fun to just be like, you know what? This time, I'm going to try doing, you know, druids and warlocks. That'll be fun. Or this time, I'm just going to do knights. Just a ton of knights. And I often, one of the things I would do is when I would play those first rounds, and it would give me one of those conditionals, like, all your mages will get this. I was like, okay. Then this game, I'm going to try and focus on playing mages, just like at random for whatever I picked. And it's been really fun to discover like the different ways that work. And and it's very addictive because you play it and you're like, oh, I only scored like 5th out of that tournament. I'm like, oh, what if I had doubled up on these kind of guys? Mm. You know what? I want to try a whole one that's just those guys in the front. Let's see if I can do that. And so it's been very fun. And yeah, just easy to do because it's just on my tablet there.
It seems not too dissimilar from those games that you like to play, like Splendor and things like that.
A little like that, it's yes. It's a little bit like yes. that. But unlike those, and unlike so many multiplayer things, I don't talk. I don't even think I can talk. I don't think there's a method for me to message people in this at all. And I should say, there is also an option to just play against bots, just to play against computer opponents.
Sure.
And I did that a lot in the beginning, because the big thing about that is you can pause that.
Mm.
With the multiplayer, you have X number of seconds
mm.
before this happens and that kind of thing. So I did that in the beginning because there's not really any explanation for a lot of things. So right. I'd be like, okay, what does this mean? If you hover over stuff, it'll tell you. So I did that for a while. But I find it very fun. The only downside, again, because you're playing with other people, it does mean you can't just suddenly stop. Because, like, they can take, and depending on how good we're all doing, a tournament could take, you know, and depending on how bad I'm doing, a tournament could take me 10 minutes, or it could take me 45 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, well, if I'm doing really well.
Oh, yeah, I, like, you keep going up.
Well, and not only, like, if I'm doing really well, I'm not losing, which means I'm not losing any life points. But also, if I'm doing really well, even if I am losing against other people who are doing better, I'm losing less. Like, yeah. They beat me, but they just had, like, one dude left,
yeah,
so right. I only lost, like, 1 point. So, yeah, there's, like, I have trouble getting first. I can get 3rd, and, like, I can get anything. I very seldom get 8th, either. I get between 7th and 2nd. But when I'm really at those high ones, like, we'll go for a long time, because we've all clearly come up with strategies that are working this time, and we start pitting them against each other, and it's always evolving because every round you're getting more gold and sure. you can buy more dudes. So slowly over time, like, one becomes kind of superior, but it can be a really slow process. And then there's other times where I'm like, this strategy has sucked and I am not getting any units available to purchase that will help me at all. So I am just dying.
So I'm sure that over time you're going to, after you've tried things like you were saying,
yeah.
you're going to get a sense of, I mean, the period of experimentation will probably pass, and then you'll be thinking, okay, I know what this does, so this is what I'm going to do.
See, this is what I wonder, because I read a couple articles on this before I ever played it, by the same person.
Yeah.
And one was fairly new on, and they were explaining how the game worked and why they found it fun and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading an article by them later, as they'd been playing it for a while, and it was basically talking about the strategies that they tend to know work
mm-hmm.
versus the strategies that are fun.
Oh.
And like the word, like he had this one where he's like, if you get these and you get these and you can get this particular item, like in the, where you get the loot things.
Sure.
It's the strategy. There's a particular unit that one of its power, like its sort of special power or whatever, is it makes little tiny versions of itself periodically.
Mm.
And if you get certain units that do certain things and then this particular piece of loot, you can get it to where it does it like incredibly fast.
Oh.
So you basically are just filling the board with little ones you use and you just mop up. But he's like, but you're never guaranteed that you're going to get the right units or that that item is going to come up.
Sure.
So it's an awesome strategy when it works, but it really often doesn't.
Yeah.
And he's like, but if you do this, but so far I haven't found anything that's consistent because it's such a random chance mm-hmm. of what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, especially if it's really easy to get a 2-star unit because, you know, I buy something and eventually I'll find it twice more and it's a 2-star unit.
Yeah.
After that, I have to find it 6 more times. And you only have so many spaces that you can have what they call your bench
sure.
of guys you don't have out there.
Sure.
So there are times where I'm like, okay, I'm trying to save up to get a 3-star version of this or that. I don't have enough room.
Yeah.
So I have to decide which one do I think is more likely to come up, and then I trash the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And you have... You can spend gold on that. You can also spend gold to increase the you have experience while you're playing, like mm-hmm. in the game, and that increases your level in the game. And the level is how many units you can put out there at once.
Mm.
And so then that's, well, if I can get enough, pay gold and get enough experience up that I can get another unit, then I can take that off my bench and I have room on my bench. But there's just so many random factors. I am sure for some people they learn strategies that are largely effective and like, well, if I get this, then I do this. And
mm-hmm.
if I got this,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I am in a position or will play it nearly enough to do that. Cause I'm playing it a lot less now that I'm home too.
Well, maybe
cause I've got real video games, you know,
maybe that'll let it stay fun,
but it's pretty neat. And it's still just technically a beta access open thing. I mean, it's totally free too. So I don't know, but yeah, I've been really enjoying that. Still playing Assassin's Creed Origins. Since I was gone for a week, it took a little while to sort of get back into it. Sorry, we were talking about how your 2 weeks have been.
Oh, no, I mean, it was mostly we've just been playing this game. There's been some TV shows and movies, but nothing really. I mean, we haven't, like, been to the theater or anything, so.
We will finish third season Stranger Things tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
Trish thinks she might be done.
Oh,
this has not been a great season.
I mean, yeah, we didn't. I mean, we've often said we're not huge fans of it to begin with. So if the quality goes down a little bit, it's kind of the same.
Well, that's the thing for me. Trish has been a fan, and I kind of haven't, but I've kept with it because she's doing it. And a little bit to keep into the cultural significance.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Like, as long as, and then, you know, the seasons are short or whatever. But this one has been a slog. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
They're all too teenagery, and I hate that, and I hate them. it's getting way gorier.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Trish is not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
And they've kind of, I kind of hate everybody now. Like, they've turned, especially some characters, are real douches this season.
I mean, I think they did that on purpose. Like, oh, this is what happens to teenagers. It's like, well,
no, but like Hopper.
Oh.
Hopper's always been a little hot and cold and questionable at times. But like, he's an asshole this entire season. I mean, he is completely unsympathetic to me.
Honestly, I mean, when it's on, I'm only half watching it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's and also, I mean, the nostalgia is starting to strain. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I get it. Da, 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 da. And yeah, it's just not. This season is not being very good. But yeah, we're almost done with that. Hopefully I'm trying to get Trish into the last season or the third season of The Good Place before the fourth season comes out, because it probably isn't too far away.
Next season of She-Ra starts tomorrow.
Oh, does it? Apparently the new and final season of Elementary is already out and is on CBS All Access, and I found out now Trish apparently is not going to watch it, so I'm going to watch it.
Orange is the New Black has its last season. It's on Netflix now. We haven't started to watch it, but
yeah, I haven't touched the new one of Legion either. So you haven't asked me how my vacation was.
Do I have to ask?
I guess we technically hadn't gotten to how my 2 weeks are, but
I am curious to know how your vacation
is. Fine. It's fine. It was a family vacation, so it's fine. Played a fair bit of D&D.
You did?
Yeah, the whole family's doing it. Well, not the whole family, but...
Oh.
You know, before, my niece and nephew and Trish and I were playing.
Yeah, I guess I remember that.
And the niece is 14, which means she doesn't like anything, so she's decided she's not that interested.
Oh, that's too bad.
The nephew, who's like 11, I think, is super into it. And his dad got into it, and... Trish's dad got into it.
Mm.
And in fact, Trish's, the sister-in-law who's running the game has a weekly D&D group she goes to at a local game store, her dad has started going with her to that.
That's fun.
So they all played the weekend I was, what was it, Labor Day weekend? I don't know. Some weekend recently when I had to stay home sick while they were all there. They had played. And then over this time, we all played because we were all there. So we played a couple of adventures of that. And that was pretty interesting.
I can't even imagine my dad going to a D&D thing.
Yeah, it's been weird. But he's a big fantasy nerd to begin with. He reads a lot of those and stuff.
I mean,
so he's kind of into that.
I'd love it if he did, but I just can't imagine.
He gets
it.
To play a dragonborn, which is like a humanoid dragon. He loves dragons, so he's way into that. He can breathe fire and shit. He likes that.
That's cool.
So he's enjoying himself there. So that's been fun. It's very interesting to see the nephew playing with it. He and I went out to lunch one day, and on the drive, he was like, yeah, when I started, it was very much, you know, about winning and beating on people. So he's like, but I'm getting into the story. But then I've seen some, because it's very much part of the thing about role-playing games versus other games is you're playing a person, and as that person, you can do anything. And so I see him stretching his agency a lot.
Unfortunately,
he's a 12-year-old boy, so a lot of him stretching his agency is just sort of being an asshole.
Oh.
But that's changing as we're playing more because he has a character and he has relationships with other characters and what that means. And we had a very interesting situation of what in an adult game would not have been an issue in that we were fighting a bunch of bad guys and we killed them all, and then one guy surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the question of whether or not to still fight him or whatever, or to attack him. And all the grown-ups, of course, are not. But then we wanted to give him agency. And he genuinely wasn't sure because he likes... And he's like, well, my character's a pretty good guy. And I'm just like, well, if he's going to kill a guy who's surrendering, then he's not a pretty good guy. And I'm in my head, I'm just like, I don't know what happened. The game breaks if this happens. Because I'm like... Just from a role-playing perspective, I can't hang out with this guy anymore. Like, I don't know what the hell happens. But on his own, he decided not to and stuff. And it's just very – I think it's cool for him. And I see a lot of when I was younger and I role-play. Because, I mean, role-playing isn't just something I love. It has fundamentally formed me. I started when I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
I have been doing this is a huge part of my life and a huge part of who I am today. So it's very fun to sort of watch that. Got a lot of reading done. I bought 3 books on the Kindle to take with me.
Mm-hmm.
Read all 3.
Wow.
To be fair, 2 of them were much shorter than I expected. And they were so-so. I haven't decided if I'm going to keep reading those. But I read the first of the Dying Earth trilogy, the N.K. Jemisin one. Nobody properly warned me. N.K. Jemisin is an incredible author. It was amazing. The world, the mythology is unbelievable. Her wordcraft is amazing. Her storytelling is amazing. It is also... so depressing. I'm just constantly wanting to slit my own wrists. It is such a dark, apocalyptic world, and just everything sucks. And it's so good, and I'm going to read the other 2, but I'm like, I have to take a break.
Because
it's just hard. And it's funny, because her earlier series that are The Inheritance Legacy or whatever, I don't think of that as a bright series. Like, there's a lot of dark stuff and beings being enslaved for thousands of years and stuff in that one. But, like, compared to this, it's fucking balloons and parties.
Wow.
Like, I'm just amazed. So I did that. But I really enjoyed that. Ate good food, all this stuff. Kept my blood sugar under control, which is hard to do on that trip. There's so much tasty junk food in the house. And there always is. All of that aside, going on a vacation like that where you just really just leave everything behind is very interesting for your perspective. Like, things happened in there and it made me think about things and it started making me evaluate, like, my day-to-day life here. So I'm changing a lot of things when I came back.
Okay.
I've been having issues. You know, I've been sleeping terribly. I slept terribly on this trip, too.
Okay.
I think a fair amount of that may be stress. And it's not work stress. It's not home stress. It's the fact that the world as a whole is on fire stress.
Okay.
So I'm making a very conscious effort to pull back from a lot of that stuff. I'm being much more selective about my news.
Mm-hmm.
The sources are essentially staying the same, but there are articles where, like, am I going to click on this? Well, is it something that you actually need to know to stay informed?
Yeah.
Is it something that will bring you value? Will it potentially infuriate you? Things like this. And there's a lot of them that I'm like, I don't need to know the details about this. Yeah. Like, this is not important. And I used to, there, the whole category of Schadenfreude ones. Like, there's a bunch of those. Mm. And it's still that dopamine rush. Oh, this person was really shitty and people were, you know, mean to them about it. I want to read, like, I don't need that. I'm not looking at Reddit anymore.
Oh, just I didn't know
full
you.
Full stop.
I didn't know you were a Reddit.
I mean, I
person.
Might still go to the. I slowly became one because Trish started was, but just for specific ones, there are a lot of great Schadenfreude subreddits. Of there's one just called Choosy Beggars that's just online things of people who like want free stuff, but they want it very in their own specific ways and crap. That's just hilarious. You know, things like that. People trying to get free artwork. From folks and just people like, oh my god, how dumb are they, kind of things. A lot of those and I'm just not doing any of them anymore, so that helped a lot. And there's just a lot of things like that I'm trying to focus better. And then two big ones. One is I'm really going to the gym every day. I had gotten to where I was going 5 days a week, but I frequently would do a little deal where I would skip a day and say I'll make it up on the weekend. And that just threw things off anyway. So now I'm just going. If I didn't sleep well, too bad. I'm going. So this week I've gone every day. I love working out again. The week without working out was kind of rough. Like things ached and stuff afterwards.
I see.
And I came to terms with the fact that if I'm going to be serious about this, I have to write every day. So now I'm writing every day.
Every day. Wow.
Every day.
Good.
Not necessarily a lot. And I've got it planned out. Monday through Thursday, it's in the morning. Between the gym and going to work.
Mm.
It's only about a half hour.
Okay.
Friday, there are reasons why I can't do it in the morning, but that's fine because it's Friday, so I can do it in the evening.
Oh, sure.
And the weekend, I can find time on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. But yeah, so far I've written all four mornings since this week has started. The first three mornings, I wrote. So the game plan here is just to write. I am, as Trish so wonderfully put it, exercising my writing muscles.
Sure.
So it's not quite free writing, but it's not stuff that I'm necessarily going to use for anything.
Sure.
It's ideas I've had. There's one that I'm going to do that's really nothing, and it's just purely I'm going to describe a house. And the plan with that is I want to work on my descriptive language.
Right, right.
But it's like nothing. So I spent 3 days on what is essentially a story. But I don't know if it's a complete story, and I don't know what the point necessarily is.
Sure.
So it may never be a story. But it's essentially, it's a thing that I came up with of, it's sort of a future history of how society ends up in a situation where we can fairly accurately predict everybody's time of death.
Hmm.
And regardless of whether or not you fall in the outliers or whatever, you have to die at that time, and like how we got there socially and politically and stuff. And I thought it was pretty cool, but I'm like, it doesn't really go anywhere, and I don't know what the ending or the point is.
Sure.
But I wrote it, and that was fun. And then today I was going to, this morning I was going to start the house thing, but then on the drive back from the gym, I got this other idea in my head. So I'm currently writing a first person perspective thing of being a parent telling my daughter a story about when I was a kid and I climbed a tree and jumped into space.
Jumped into space.
I'm also noticing a lot of things with these. They sound like I'm trying to write like Neil Gaiman because I was listening to audiobooks of him on the trip.
Mm.
And I don't have this problem when I'm reading. I have this problem when I'm listening. If I listen to certain audiobooks, then my writing turns into that.
Mm.
So like when I started Odd Wings, it was very in the style of Jim Butcher because I listened to a lot of Dresden Files.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. But yeah, when I listen to Gaiman, it gets a lot of Gaimanisms. So, but yeah, so I'm doing that and I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. I did watch like three movies recently, but they're all just dumb as hell and not worth mentioning. So I won't bother with that. Yeah.
I can't think of anything else.
Me neither. Let's go home.
No, we got to draw that.
Oh, okay. Let's draw hats.
Draw hats.
Where's my crayon? Oh, my game is going well, my Dark Harbor game.
Oh.
We had the epic season one finale where people died and their good friend they thought died. Well, I gave him back to her this last time. She's alive. But she's horribly mutated and has spent 2 years of subjective time crawling her way through unspeakable horror in various dimensions to get back to them. It's only been like 5 weeks for them. So
when's the last time you played it? Just this last?
Yeah, just Tuesday.
But there was a week that you skipped.
Yeah, because I was in Virginia.
All right, Stu wants to know.
What does Stu want to know?
After 435 episodes, it occurs I should
okay,
like...
Okay, now we think it's episode 436. It's not. Don't lie.
Well, it's 435.
I know, but I'm saying that implies this is episode 436, and we can't prove him wrong since we don't actually know what number it is.
I think it's 438, but...
All right.
But that is after 435.
I mean, that is true, yes.
It occurs I should like to meet William. Oh. Well, that's nice of you, Stu. I think that's probably a very unusual thing for our listeners to think.
I can say I don't think anybody's ever asked that before.
Yeah, some people I knew used to listen, but I don't think they listen anymore. So most of the people who listen for you, and I don't think any of them have
well,
ever
Jazz.
Been
interested. Jazz is for you.
Oh, that's true, Jazz. And Mark sometimes listens.
I feel like he's gone. I don't know.
And Dave Avid sometimes listens. David. So I guess I do know some people. But it seems like so many people that you know listen, and they probably
Well, I actively solicited
like
listeners when I started. The closest we've gotten to this is I remember my brother-in-law had listened for, I don't think he listens anymore, but he had listened for quite a while. And when the 100th episode happened and there was that video.
Yeah.
He was fascinated and excited to put a face with your voice finally. Oh. And it was one of those things, like he'd been listening for so long, he had an image in his head and you didn't look anything like that.
Not anything
so
like
they,
it?
Apparently.
I would be very curious to know what image he had, but he probably can't remember now. Anyway,
no,
but he asked, how does one go about this? Meeting William?
Well, you have to send a fairly large self-addressed stamped envelope. And
I don't know.
Well, I do.
Okay.
Because I know both of you.
Okay.
Y'all basically live in the same neighborhood.
He lives in Corvo?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And in that same, I mean, I don't know if we can call it one neighborhood, but that same giant collection of identical homes with no useful buildings near it until you reach like the mall or something.
The mall's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, depending on which side of the giant structure you're
That's
on.
That's true.
Now, the bad part is I probably have to be involved. I don't want to. I don't really like either of you. And I see both of you far too often. Mm. I see him at work like every day. I saw him today. But... I don't know. You're both weird enough that I don't think I can just put you in contact and you guys go like meet for coffee. I don't think that would work.
Okay.
But this does dovetail nicely with my thought that I've been having for a while. It's been a long time since I've gone to IHOP.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't been to IHOP.
And nobody goes to IHOP with me anymore. But you used to go with me like all the time.
I did go with you to IHOP.
And it's over there.
Yes, it is.
So what we probably need to do is just arrange a time some weekend where the three of us meet at that IHOP.
That sounds pretty awesome.
So I'll talk to him because, again, I see him like every day.
Is he into IHOP?
I don't know or care. I mean...
Okay.
I find it weird when people aren't into IHOP. I mean, I should rephrase. I find it weird when people are not into IHOP. Like, I get not being into IHOP.
But, like, disliking it or having a...
Like, unless you're very big on, like, my food has to be vegan, my food has to be local, my food... But, like, it's incredibly inoffensive food.
Yeah.
Like, just... And I do, ostensibly, in the realm of casual chains, family chains, has the best pancakes, in my opinion.
So...
To say nothing of butter pecan syrup.
Let's talk about another angle on this.
All right. What if I airdrop you down his chimney?
Okay, so Stu is somebody you know.
For my sins.
Who I only know through him commenting on the blog and
yes.
writing in.
Yes.
However, as a listener, he's probably gotten to know me fairly well.
Right, right.
I mean, I do often say that people who... experience me on the podcast only get to know a tiny little sliver of me.
But it is also worth saying that he's full of shit.
No, that's not who that Stu is.
Yes, he has not listened to every episode. Not even close. He came in late in the game, and then he disappeared from it late in the game. Recently, he has begun listening reliably again.
Point being, there's a few things that are true here.
All right.
I don't really know this person at all.
Yep. And he knows you a fair bit?
Or maybe not as well as he thinks.
Yep.
And to no fault of his own, it's just how it works. And so, speaking as the person who's in that position, while I'm anxious to meet Stu, because I think, you know, everything I know about him is that he's a very intelligent and nice guy. I
what? Don't,
yeah, sure.
That is antithetical to everything I've ever told you about Stu.
Yeah, but you're a liar.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That does, okay.
Well, also.
I didn't follow the algorithm through, but. I mean, story checks out.
So, anyway, but I don't know what quite. I mean, I'm not sure.
Well, you know what this is.
How would that work out for me? I mean, what would I?
You know what this is on a low level microcosmic version.
No.
You're a celebrity.
No.
No, that's not that. No, it's exactly what it is. It is way smaller scale, but it is the same concept. He has seen you a whole bunch in a media projected version, which may or may not, in whatever level, be related to the real you.
But he's also communicated with me in a way.
In a fan letters,
well,
essentially.
No, but I mean, like, I've responded to him in the blog.
Yeah. So you've had some correspondence.
Sure.
But again, you can do that with celebrities. It's the same thing. And I have run into this too. How it usually manifests with me is friends I haven't seen in quite a while or spoken to in quite a while feel like we've been keeping up because they've been keeping up on this.
Mm.
And so they feel closer to me than I feel to them. But no, it's the same concept in a very small scale. Is essentially you are a celebrity in that your life, whatever percentage of it is accurate to who you are,
sure,
is being broadcast to the public, in this case, just meaning Stu. And so he has a lot more material with which to put together both an image and a personality and, tertiarily, a minor relationship or hypothetical relationship.
Well,
then you do.
It makes me feel like I'm a bit of a disadvantage.
No, exactly.
Socially speaking. So,
but yeah, and it also heightens the opportunity that Stu has misconceptions.
Which that could result in this being a very fun and interesting experience for him or a tragically disappointing one.
Yes.
which I don't like that idea of that.
The benefit here in this and only this example. Oh, that's Stu, by the way. Yelling out there.
That maybe it's another person.
I realized today, and it's one of these things that, like, I told Trish and she immediately was like, you're right, because she runs into two. In the building where we work, the motion-activated soap dispensers in the bathroom sinks, their gears make a little whine of a certain pattern.
Sure.
That is the exact same pitch pattern as Addy when he's yelling for attention.
Okay.
Like exactly the same. And it was so weird when I realized I was getting soap and I'm like, wait a second. Because he's been very vocal since we've been back because he missed us a lot. And I told it to Trish. She's like, oh my God, you're right. Anyway, this is making me think of it because that's what Stu sounds like at work all the time, that screaming kid. No. In this instance, you have a benefit here. You have me who knows both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do a lot of extrapolation of how I think it might work.
Oh, sure.
And I think you guys get along quite well.
So let me ask you a question.
I think you two might get along better than I get along with either of you.
Let me ask you a question.
In the long run. I'm not saying at IHOP that day.
This is kind of not related.
All right.
But I...
That's on brand for us.
I could be wrong about... this presumption that I have, but I presume that you get feedback about the show that I never hear. And I also presume that some of the feedback is negative and negative about me in particular. So if given that that is probably so, the people who dislike me, do they at least like to dislike me, or are they just totally annoyed that I even speak during the podcast and they wish I'd shut up and just let you do all the talking?
It's maybe the only time you hear me say this, but I'm not that good. The people who really dislike you,
yeah,
don't listen anymore.
Oh, okay.
And haven't told me that that's why they're not listening, but that's clearly the case.
Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry for that.
By and large, I don't get a lot of negative feedback about you.
Oh.
But.
Well, that's negative feedback when a person stops listening because they can't stand the sound of my voice.
But like I said, nobody's ever told me that's the case.
But you figured it out.
No, I'm just saying if somebody really didn't like you, I'm not enough of a draw to keep them listening.
Okay.
I'm saying that I'm as I said, I'm not that good. Nobody's like, God, Tony's so fucking awesome that I have to keep listening, even though a significant chunk of this podcast makes me want to rip my face off. Yeah, no, but there is minimal criticism about you, and largely the criticism matches up with my criticism of, like, the times when we have an episode where I get frustrated with you. Mm-hmm. There are some people who will talk to me about how they also were frustrated with you in the same manner.
Well, I know I have that effect on people.
And I do get the occasional thing where people will ask me about you because of not knowing you. And so you say something that, like, from anybody else would sound a bit, you know, conceited or whatever.
Oh.
And I mean, like, we've had this, like, the discussion about the Game of Thrones thing. And you're like, Yes. You know, when you're saying it's really obvious, most people, you sound like a superior as. And I'm like, and I know you're not. But occasionally I'll get that. They'll be like, how can he say? I'm like, oh, no. This is William. When he says that, he means this way. I know you think, but that's not. And so I've had to do that translation. But the good thing is that lessens over time, because people who listen to the podcast enough eventually figure that out for themselves. They learn how to translate William, essentially.
You know, that kind of makes me sad, because as I've often said, and I'm sure that you can believe, I've had these same problems you're talking about with people my whole life.
Yes.
And usually it just means they stop talking to me, or I miss out on certain opportunities to partner with people or maybe get a job, and I don't even know.
Yes.
I don't even know what happened. But then later, you know, I might meet up with someone and they'll say, oh yeah, you really, you know, made that person mad. I said, what? Why? What did I? And they'll say what I said. And I said, well, I didn't mean it like that. And they said, well, I figured that out much later, but at the time it really offended them. So it's like, I've had this problem my whole life. I don't know what.
And to that, I respond by saying, the number of times I have had to have email conversations with listeners in which they wanted to know what the hell my problem was with them, and I had to explain to them that that's me being funny or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Two, number of conversations you've had to have with listeners where they wanted to know what the hell your problem was with them, and you had to explain that that's not what you meant by it. Zero.
Well, but they don't talk to me. They talk to you.
Nobody has come to me and said, what the hell is William's problem?
Okay.
Even as your surrogate representative, I'm telling you, there have been none.
Oh, okay.
And I have had two.
Okay.
One of them from somebody I was already friends with.
Well, you know.
What I'm saying is, Tony also has to be translated.
Yeah.
It's just a little different.
Well, there's certain things, you know, like the first 10 years after I left home, I was clueless about everything. The next 10 years is when we met and we worked together. I had some things figured out and I think I did okay. I don't think I...
10 years after that, suddenly you forgot it all again.
Well, no. That has to do with this podcast thing. It's like, if I were just talking to you, it wouldn't be a problem. It's thinking about someone listening and it just messes me up. So it's I don't think I've gotten used to it all this time. I think I still sometimes will say things. Some of the things would be okay to say to you, just not on the air. Some of the things wouldn't even be okay to say it to you that way, but I'm double thinking. Like, what do I want to say to Tony, but how should I say it on the air?
I mean,
I've never gotten used to it.
Well, but this is also a problem that I have. I mean, there are things I want to say to you that I'm like, this is not a good thing to put on the internet. And
but I think
you are right in that I worry less about it than you do. Yeah. But that also means I've screwed it up more often than you have.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I screw up all the time. I
mean, you say stuff that you're like, I should not have said
well,
that.
Well, you know, I listen. You don't.
That's true.
But I listen, and I'm
just in general. That's
I constantly
true.
Hear things that I go, what did I just say? And why did I say that? Or, oh, that sounded terrible. And sometimes I'll say something in the blog to kind of correct it. But other times it's like, there's nothing I can say to fix this. And this is why I always say, people who only know me on the podcast probably don't know me very well. Especially if they draw conclusions about my personality instead of coming to you and say, you correct them from what I, but other people will hear it and they'll just assume.
That see, and I would say, if they're listening consistently, they do know you pretty well.
Maybe.
Because, well, or I don't very well, because for the last almost decade now, the vast majority of my interaction with you has been on the podcast.
Yeah, I guess.
But I already knew you before then, too.
That's true.
But
that's
and
true.
I can tell you, I don't think you're particularly different than normal on the podcast. I can tell that you sometimes do second guess what you're saying and get nervous about it because you're on the podcast,
yes.
Which is absolutely natural. But very seldom... Actually, probably never have I been like, wow, that doesn't seem like something he would have said.
Okay.
Or
I get what
like,
you're saying.
Like, you're pretty you.
I see what you're saying.
It's no, it's the same shit. Like, okay. You remember Gaia's Feast?
Yes.
You remember how sometimes you would ask questions or say something? And sometimes, like, often we just had a lot of back and forth. But sometimes you would say something, and the next hour was the rest of the room trying to be like, dude, no. It's like this.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. That's what I get.
Oh.
I get people who I'll talk to later, and they're like, dude, why was he? And I'm like, no, it's just good. So it's, I mean, it is the same thing. But also,
because
yeah,
I'm
no,
a robot.
Stu is largely demure, earnest individual. No, I think you guys would get along great.
Well, that's good.
Except he's hard to understand because he just goes, ah. just today he's making a joke about how they should set up one of his business goals as learning to take a compliment.
Oh,
but he's
yeah.
like, but I don't know, I feel like I'm too fundamentally British to be able to do that. And I was like, well, now you have dual citizenship, maybe you can take like half a compliment. And he's like, that still might be too much. I'm like, let's start out small. And I said, you know, you're way more intelligible than most of the Welsh people I know. And he's like, that's not a compliment. That's just a fact. And I was like, all right, I'll try again. So then I made fun of him. I said, it's really brave of you that you've been in this country for so long and you still spell the word Czech wrong. Because just the other day, and it was the Q-U-E. And he's like, I try, but then this thing. And then we got into, so the equivalent of the Secretary of the Treasury in the UK is the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Oh.
And so he was writing it. I was like, what was it? Chancellor of the Exchequer, EXCHECKER. And I'm like, no, you're right. That looks insane.
That sounds like a person that plays checkers. And
yeah,
like
that just
master
that's,
checkers
or used to be the head of the grocery store. Like,
right.
I'm like, no, you're right. That looks terrible. But yeah. All right. We are over time, people. So, listen next week. In the meantime, write in. If you're not Azure Talon, write in themagicaltalkinghat.com. There's so much Azure Talon waiting in that hat, people, and none of it's good. You know that. You know that already.
You sense.
I did use that tricycle bicycle dressed joke with my family over vacation.
Oh, what did they think?
They liked that one.
Oh, they liked it.
Most of the other ones I couldn't tell to my family because they were both puns and horribly rude and vulgar and
okay.
Like the vampire one and that
okay.
kind of shit.
Okay.
All right. So save us all from that and listen again next week. And next week it'll have been a week for everybody involved. So that'll be nice. I mean, unless you're listening to this in the post-apocalyptic future, in which case, learn from us.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.